Well, good morning to all of you. Great to see all of you here. We got several, obviously, who are traveling. Got a long holiday weekend. Going to make the most of that. Also, let me just remind you, if you haven't had your picture made for our pictorial directory, I'll be shooting people with a camera out here just outside the door. So have patience with me again this morning. I'm not going to be able to stand at the back and greet as many of you as I would like to. I always enjoy that, and hope you enjoy that also. We've been working our way through the book of Romans. We have kind of an extended series that we're working. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 7 this morning. If you'd like to go ahead and turn to that passage, verses 14 to 25 particularly is where we're going to be focused. 9.5 years ago, I attended a lectureship where Dr. Prentice Metter preached on this very passage of Scripture, and I thought he did an absolutely masterful job of capturing the power and conveying the message of Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Since I thought he did such a great job, several months later, I brought it here and gave it to you. But that was a long time ago, and 9 years ago that I did that. And as I got ready for this lesson, I dragged out my Romans notes again. I have a big stack of books. I'm in a big, thick file folder. And I'm going through that, and I ran across Dr. Metter's notes again, the notes that I had taken from his presentation. And I thought he did such a good job with it that I really just had to bring it to you again. He's so on target with his analysis of this passage. So what you're going to hear this morning, basically the broad contours of this sermon are actually from Dr. Metter. Here's what that means in a real practical sense. If you hear something that is really good and appropriate and practical, you're going to listen to that and you're going to go, wow, that's good. You will know that that is Prentice Metter's stuff, okay? Anything that's boring or confusing, that's me. All right? So you can tell automatically what's what and where's where, just that simply, okay? In this section in Romans chapter 7, Paul is dealing with a very obvious problem. We've been talking in Romans, we've pointed out from chapters 1, 2, and 3 that we're all lost in sin. We all have the problem, Jew, Gentile, doesn't make any difference. But we all have salvation in Jesus Christ. Jew, Gentile, doesn't make any difference. In Romans chapter 6, we talk about the fact that we now live a different way. We have an entirely new ethical standard because we are children of God in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 7, Paul takes up a very obvious problem. And the obvious problem is this. If we're new people in Christ, why do we keep sinning? We're not supposed to do that stuff, and yet we find ourselves doing it all the time. Well, that's exactly right. The answer to that is there's a war going on inside us. There's a war going on within us. And it's a war we absolutely, positively have to win. The American Civil War was fought in this country to confront a deep moral evil, the evil of slavery. You know that. And for many years, this country had recognized that we had a moral problem that was corrupt from the very center of who we were, and we had to deal with it. But they kept trying to push it off. And so in the compromise, or the Missouri Compromise in 1820, they pushed it off. In the Compromise of 1850, they pushed it off again. In the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1856, they pushed it off again. They didn't want to try to deal with this. There's a deep moral problem. Ultimately, of course, it erupted in a civil war because you cannot ignore the evil within you. You have to confront it. You have to deal with it. And ultimately, we had to confront it, and we had to win. Well, there's a war going on within us. There's a war with entrenched evil that is going on within us. And it's a war we must fight, and it's a war we must win. Now, what I want to do is read Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25, and come up with a winning strategy. We have got to win this war. Let's start reading together in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. We'll read all the way down through verse 25, and then come back and talk about this. Paul says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature slave to the law of sin. We're going to have to fight this war, and we're going to have to confront the evil within us, and we're going to have to win it. There are three important facts about this war we need to wrap our minds around from the very beginning. The first fact is this. The fact that there is a war going on demonstrates that I have divided loyalties. I mean, my problem is, I don't know who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be about. This war is not me against you. This war isn't me against the world. This war is me against myself. And every one of us has exactly the same problem. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what it feels like to know what you ought to do and fail to do it. You know exactly what it's like to want to serve God and at the same time find yourself doing the very thing you don't want to do. I have divided loyalties, and I'm not supposed to. That's a very bad thing, but it's true. The second fact about this war is that the battlefield in this war is my life. Yeah, the whole battle is fought right here. It deals with every aspect of my life, my work life, my family life, recreation and entertainment choices, everything I do. It's all bound up in this same struggle that goes on within me. You know, the terrible thing about war is incredibly destructive, and that's all it does. It tears things up, breaks things, kills people. It wastes an incredible amount of energy and the resources of a nation. Solely destructive. And the battlefield is me. It's all going to happen right here. And a third fact about this is the issue at stake is my immortal soul. Couldn't be higher. The stakes could not possibly be higher because the issue here is my immortal soul. You know, the United States Civil War was fought about who's ultimately in charge. Is it the federal government or is it the individual state governments? Slavery was the question they were debating that on, but the big question was, who's in charge, feds or states? Ultimately, of course, the war was fought and indicated that the federal government is in charge of the various states. We have to decide who's in charge. See, that's why there's a war going on within me. I got to decide who's in charge here. Who is in charge? Is it me? Am I going to do whatever I want to do? Am I going to continue to follow my individual desires, or am I going to follow Jesus? See, that's what the question is all about. Who's in charge here? That's what the war is all about. Who has authority in my life? There are some facts about this war. Big question is, how did this happen? How did this war ever come about? Well, the causes of the war are, I'm afraid, fairly obvious. The first cause is, we are in Christ. That's absolutely true. But we are also in the flesh at the same time. Go back and look at verse 14 again. You've seen this. You've seen this as it plays out through this segment. We know that the law is spiritual. That is, it's the right thing. It's the right thing to do. That God's way is exactly right. But I am unspiritual. Uh-oh. I'm not like that. God's law is right. I'm not like that. Sold as a slave to sin. I'm not like that. I ought to be like that, but I'm not. I've got this terrible tension that goes on within me between the spirit and the flesh. They're just warring all the time. My flesh wants whatever it wants. It's going to chase off and do whatever it thinks is the right thing, the impulsive thing right now. It doesn't matter. I've got human weakness. And the truth is, my humanity is part of God's creation. I wouldn't try to deny my humanity. God made us as human beings. Humanity was good enough for the Lord Jesus Christ to assume. But the reality is, we're in Christ, but we're still in the flesh at the same time. We still inhabit this clay and walk around in it. Second cause of the war is, I am a Christian, but I still try to obey the law. Now, Chris, what are you talking about? What do you mean by that? I mean, I try to do what I decide is good. I look out here at the world, and I think there's a way to live. That's the right way to live. I'll go ahead and do that. And then there are good things that I ought to do, and so I go out and do good things. You know the wonderful thing about that? The longer I do good things, the more worthy I think I am of God's interest in His salvation. So I go out here, and I do wonderful good things, and I walk away patting myself on the back saying, oh, what a good boy am I. And I really feel worthy of God's salvation. But you understand that keeps me in charge and not Him. Who am I really obeying? I'm obeying myself. It's all about me and what I do and how well I'm performing in this and how lucky God is that I'm on His team. I am a Christian, but I still try to perform righteousness instead of being righteousness. Another cause of the war is, frankly, my will is weaker than my flesh. You see verse 18? He says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. We've all had the same situation. You understand exactly how this works. I want to do this, but I wind up doing this over here. How is that possible? I wanted to do this. My will said, I'm going to do that. And I wind up over here doing exactly the opposite or something so far removed you can't even recognize it. How is that possible? I hate my failure in that, but I fail anyway. And where that leaves me, honestly, you know what I'm talking about here. Where that leaves me is, it leaves me frustrated and depressed. Because I know what kind of person I'm supposed to be, and I'm not that kind of person. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I don't do it. I even want to do the right thing, and I wind up not doing it. So I'm frustrated and depressed, and I could sit around and feel a lot more frustrated and a lot more depressed. But you know, I don't need to sit around and feel frustrated and depressed. What I need to do is figure out a winning strategy for this war. I want to win this thing. All right, so let's do that. Let's get us a winning strategy involved here. Here's your winning strategy. Now, the thing about strategy, and again, this is something everybody knows, you have to adjust your strategy depending on your enemy. Right? We don't fight in Afghanistan, even in terms of carnal warfare. We don't fight in Afghanistan like we did in the South Pacific in World War II. A lot of things have changed there, so that dictates a brand new strategy. We can't run whatever the next war that we get involved with is. We can't run that like we ran Vietnam. It'll be a different setup, completely demands different strategy based on different people, different quality of enemy, different technology that's available. There's a new strategy. We're going to have to get a strategy that is absolutely workable for me. I got to have a strategy that works for me, all right? All right, let's think about this strategy. One thing we know won't work is not just the will of God. I just can't know the will of God. That's not going to do it. Education is not the strategy for winning, okay? Knowledge is the cure for ignorance, but knowledge is not the cure for sin. I know what I'm supposed to do, don't you? Don't you know what you're supposed to do? You know that. The problem is not knowing it. That's pretty quickly addressed. The problem isn't knowing it. The problem is doing it. See, here's the problem with law. Here's the problem with the law. You run into a commandment, and immediately you think, wow, that's the wrong thing to do. I'm not going to do that. But you know what happened? That seed got planted in your mind, and now you start thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. Y'all remember Bill Parks. Many of you knew Bill Parks longer than I did. Loved that man. But he had a lot of fascinating stories. One of the stories he told was about being a very young man in a real tough time of life, didn't have any money, very hungry, went into a diner and ordered a bowl of beans. That's all he could afford was a bowl of beans. And he sat there eating a bowl of beans, and another guy came into the diner, walked up to the counter man, said, "How's business?" And the guy said, "Oh, it's awful. It's just terrible. Wow, look at that fellow right there. He ordered a 10-cent bowl of beans. I bet he pours a 25-cent bottle of ketchup in it." Bill Parks would look at me with that little twinkle in his eye and say, "I never thought of that until he said it." See, that's how it works. We know what we're supposed to do, and then we go do the wrong thing. That's what happens with law generally. We already know the right thing to do. Knowing God's will is not the winning strategy. That's important. Trust me, it's important for you to know the will. But that's not going to do it alone. Here's something else that won't do it. Willpower won't do it. He looks intent, doesn't he? That guy's intent. And you're probably thinking about lunch right now, thinking one of those would be sure good right about now. Sorry about that. Willpower is not going to do it either. You just can't gin up enough willpower. We already don't do what we want to do. Now, you saw that in verse 15, didn't you? "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." There's a failure of my willpower right there. We don't do, right now I don't do what I want to do. The impulse is always to please ourselves without stopping to think, is this the right thing or not? When I was in college, I took a speech class, believe it or not. Took a speech class, and the speech teacher was talking to us about how to persuade people, how to be persuasive. And one of the things that he was talking about is the organ donor box on your driver's license. How many of you have checked the organ donor box on your driver's license? Okay, that's good. That's good. You know, organ tissue donor. He said, "I can't tell you how many speeches I've listened to by students about how you ought to be an organ and tissue donor. And you ought to check that box on your driver's license." And he says, "I agree with that. A lot of people agree with it. We hear those persuasive speeches." He says, "I can show you my driver's license right now, and I have not checked the box on it." Why is that? Because you don't think about it when you're getting your driver's license. You don't even want to be there, let alone give them money, have your bad picture made, and go through all the rigmarole standing in line and get your driver's license. You're mad. You know, you're not thinking about being an organ and tissue donor at that point. That's what happens with us, isn't it? We're confronted with an opportunity to do the wrong thing, and before we even stop to think about it, we chase off and do what we did not want to do. That's the flesh. That's the flesh in operation. So willpower is not it either. I can fight a really good war against sin. I'm going to tell you right now, I can fight a fight against sin and temptation right here, right now. I take it on, whip it, no problem, right here, right now. Right here, I can talk good fight right here, right now. You bet. You bet. Yeah. Well, I don't need to here, do I? I need to out there. That's where the fight needs to be carried. So it's not just willpower that's going to do it. Okay, it's not going to be knowing God's will. It's not going to be willpower. What's going to do it is Jesus Christ. That's the winning strategy, folks, right there. That's the only strategy there is. That's the strategy that will win every single time without fail. Take a look at verse 24 again. After Paul has gone through all this and he's explained the situation that you understand so well and you live there too, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin." Look at verse 1 of chapter 8, which I think goes right along with this. He says, "Therefore," here's my conclusion to all this, "therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There's no condemnation. There's your winning strategy right there. See, the worst part for us is we know how far short we fall of perfection. We are truly wretched creatures. We feel awful. When we think about our sin, when we think about everything that the Lord has done for us and everything, what we pledged to Him and how we ought to live and how far short we fall, we feel terrible. But we don't have to, because His power and His righteousness win this war for us. And that's the winning strategy that's involved here. See, the only way to win this war is to surrender. The only way to win the war is to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is a war, folks, that we absolutely have to win. And the sooner we surrender, the less damage we'll do. It's all about surrendering to Him. Now, this whole discussion here reminds us of some things we learned a long time ago. You didn't have to go to some kind of highfalutin school and spend a whole lot of money to learn this. You knew that. You've known this for a long, long time. We just kind of need to be reminded of it from time to time. One thing we need to be reminded of is that evil is always present, especially when I want to do good. It's right there beside me. That's how Paul started this whole discussion. I want to do the right thing, evil standing right there beside me. Yep. Sure know how that feels. A second lesson I learned a long time ago is I can't win this conflict on my own. I need God's strength to win this. I need His help to overcome the daily temptations. I need His empowerment to help me move forward in my life. I can't do this on my own. If I could do this on my own, Jesus didn't need to die. He just needed to tell me what to do if I could do it on my own. No, I need God's strength. Third lesson I learned a long time ago is, look here, as depressed as I might get about my failure, and I could get really depressed if I want to count all my failures. You know, you've got that song, Count Your Blessings. You ever sit around and count your failures? Don't do that. That's very depressing, you count your failures, right? As depressed as I might get about my failure, God has answered my failure with the victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the mission of grace is to bring the news. The war's won. So stop fighting and start living in peace. Continued rebellion is just going to wound me more than anybody else, because look here, I am the battlefield. I'm also the casualties and I'm the prisoner of war. I'm the one who will suffer the most in this. But only in Christ can we live in victory over sin and failure. All right? We have got to confront the evil within us. And we must be victorious or die. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the great good news that tells us that the war is over and peace can reign in our lives. Now, if you're not a Christian, we're going to sing an invitation song and give you an opportunity to come to the Lord and win this war. You cannot win it on your own. You will never win the war on your own. You will never be a good person, a righteous person on your own. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. But the wonderful thing is, He has given Himself specifically for us so that we can be the right people with God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess His name before men, repent of sin, quit doing the wrong thing, start doing the right thing in its place. On the basis of your faith, if you're willing to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can be raised to walk in newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ, a new life. Now, if you're a Christian, you've already made the covenant with Christ, you've already been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, but you have failed and failed miserably and you know it, well, you need to repent. The war is over. You need to stop the rebellion. You need to come back home. Wave the white flag. Come on home. Ask for forgiveness. He is gracious and faithful to forgive. If there's something that we can do to help you with your spiritual journey, if you need to respond publicly for any reason, we urge you to do it right now while we stand together and sing the invitation song.